is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
No Michael Lombardi today, but we've got the other two-thirds of the Lombardi Line on the desk today alongside Femi Abebefe, Stormy Bonantoni with you. The Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings, as always. We are live in downtown Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino. I've actually been very proud of us that we haven't had a tug of war with the air conditioning today. I wore a long sleeve shirt in preparation for this moment.
Compromise.
Yes, that's teamwork.
We found our happy medium. We're good.
Absolutely. Like, we found the perfect temperature on the dial. Lots of NFL to get to, obviously, this hour, and some college football today as well. And it is talking season in college football. We've been going through all of the large conference media days. And specifically in the SEC, it is a new era in Tuscaloosa with legendary head coach Nick Saban retiring. Kalen DeBoer takes over after leading the Washington Huskies to a national championship appearance. But how are things going to look? To help us break it all down, Charlie Potter, senior team writer for Bama Online and On3 Sports joins us. You can follow him on X at Charlie_Potter. And let's start here, since you've covered the team as long as you have. What was it like at SEC Media Days to see Kalen DeBoer on the podium in all the Crimson Tide gear and Nick Saban getting stopped for a credential?
You go into it thinking you're not going to see Coach Saban at all. And then, yeah, lo and behold, you find out he's working for ESPN. But it was definitely different because at Alabama, it's just been the same old for the last 17 seasons. And you know, I've been doing this for 11 years, and you can kind of set your watch to the offseason and what to expect from Coach Saban. But no, it was different. I thought Kalen DeBoer did a nice job. You know, I think he got asked, probably if you split up the questions of the main media room behind the podium, half of them are about Nick Saban. That's to be expected. But no, it's different, but it's been good so far.
It's interesting here because it's funny. Alabama was always one of the top two or three teams to win the national title. They returned their quarterback, Jalen Milroe, who kept making strides throughout last season. And now it feels like almost like the betting markets, at least, are sort of overlooking the Tide. Everyone talks about Georgia and Texas, and I'm even hearing more about Ole Miss than I am about Alabama. But as a Washington Husky fan, so I'm a little bit biased here, but Kalen DeBoer has won at every single stop. The guy has only lost 12 games in like a decade-long career. Like, are we sure that we should be riding off the Crimson Tide heading into this 2024 season?
I don't think so yet. I'll be interested to see what happens, obviously, this season. I think we'll learn a lot in the later portion of October. But no, I mean, with Jalen Milroe coming back, the confidence he gained at the end of last season, and now him working with a guy like Kalen DeBoer, I think can make this offense really special. They have to replace a ton. They have five starters coming back, including Milroe. But given what Washington's been able to do on the offensive side of the ball, man, it's been lights out for them. And I think if you see what Jalen Milroe can do as an athlete and then the progression he's made as a passer, if you're an Alabama fan, you have to be excited about the potential of not only your quarterback, but your offense. So, I think we'll learn a lot about Alabama when they get into kind of that meat of the schedule after that Georgia game in Tuscaloosa. But with what they have coming back from a leadership standpoint and experience, if they can get some of these new pieces to come along, Alabama's going to be right there in the thick of things at season's end.
He's one of eight players to 20 passing touchdowns and over 10 rushing touchdowns last season coming back. And you look at the odds board for the Heisman Trophy, and he's sitting there at 15-1, a pretty decent price with all the talk about Dylan Gabriel and Carson Beck and Quinn Ewers. Where do you think he stacks up specifically in that Heisman conversation?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a prove it year for Jalen. It's his senior season, redshirt junior season, but senior season of college. And if he can continue to make the strides he made at the end of the season, I think that he's a guy that could be right there earning an invitation in New York, because there's not really another athlete or player like him in college football, because he's so dynamic with his legs and he has a cannon of an arm. If he can improve on his accuracy and those kind of, you know, mid-range throws, I think this offense can be really special, because they've got some playmakers at receiver. They got some new guys coming in who are going to contribute, guys like Jeremy Bernard from Washington. Ryan Williams is a stellar true freshman a lot of people are excited about. So he has guys around him. And if that offensive line can give him a little bit more time than they did last year, with Jalen and his progression and his maturity, working with Kalen DeBoer, who's now an offensive-minded head coach, I think whatever odds he has right now probably aren't good enough for what they're going to be at season's end if he can continue on this trajectory.
Well, Charlie, let's talk about the other side of the ball, because obviously losing Nick Saban, one of the greatest coaches of all time in the history of college football, his expertise being defense. I mean, the NFL is littered with Alabama guys that played under Nick Saban. Now there's a new mind out there in defense for the Crimson Tide. Like, what should we expect on that side of the ball? And I guess, should we expect a drop off on the defensive side for Alabama?
I think the defense is what I'm most interested to see, just because it is kind of changing philosophy and philosophically. But it's going to be a 4-2-5 defense. Kane Womack's come in as the defensive coordinator, and he has that kind of swarm defense where they keep everything in front of you and swarm to the football. But Alabama's got a lot of talent up front. I think up the gut of that defense is really strong at the defensive tackle position, inside linebacker, and then safety. It's the boundary, kind of the edges, that are the biggest question marks, because you don't have Dallas Turner and Chris Braswell, your outside backers, back. You have some new guys stepping into those roles. And then your cornerback position was decimated by not only the NFL draft with Terrion Arnold and Kool-Aid McKinstry going in the top two rounds, but with, like you talked about, Nick Saban being a defensive-minded coach and really working with those corners, a lot of those guys hit the portal. So they have, I think, six scholarship players at that position right now on the roster. Only one was on last year's team. So they've got a lot of new guys. So you're going to need some transfers and some freshmen to probably step up in some big moments. And if they can do that, they'll be pretty solid on the defensive side of the ball. But as Coach Saban said at SEC Media Days, I think cornerback – the secondary, but cornerback in particular, is kind of the big question mark and maybe a concern for Alabama going into the season.
Yeah, and that's going to be a key position when it comes to winning plays in big moments. Go back to DeBoer real quickly. When he first took over, there was a little bit of concern, felt like a lot of guys were hitting the portal. How's this going to look? How would you describe the way that he's done, you know, recruiting and built this roster up over the last handful of months?
Well, Alabama had to lose players to the portal just from a number standpoint. And I think once he was announced as the head coach, I think nine players entered the portal during that 30-day window. Isaiah Bond entered kind of as soon as Nick Saban retired before they could, replace him. But Greg Byrne and the coaches that stayed around did a nice job of kind of retaining this roster. So to only lose nine guys when the new head coach is brought in is pretty solid. And in the spring, I think they lost four during the spring window. So 13 transfers since Kalen DeBoer was hired. They brought in a number of key transfers, though, to replace them. They did a nice job with retaining a guy like Ryan Williams, who hadn't signed yet and waited till that February signing date. And then, yeah, for this 2025 class, they've done a heck of a job just in terms of nationally recruiting, but doing a nice job in the South too. Cause I think that was a question mark for everybody, is can this guy from Sioux Falls and who's coached at Fresno State and in Washington, can he recruit in the South? And he put together a heck of a staff led by Courtney Morgan, who's done that. And you have the dead period that's coming up in this weekend, really, and they're having recruits on campus. And Alabama's class is pretty much done. You got to hold on to these guys during their senior seasons and add some few pieces. But they're sitting right now, at least from On3 where I work, they're number one class in the nation. So when it comes to retaining the roster and then adding talent that's going to be on future rosters, I don't think you can say much more about the job he's done and the staff's done and doing that so far this offseason.
Who do you think is better, Alabama or Ole Miss?
I think Alabama is, but I think Ole Miss, a lot of the attractiveness of that is the pieces that Lane Kiffin's brought in. You have a quarterback back, that's always a big deal. But I think for Ole Miss, they don't have Alabama on the schedule. That's mm-hmm. been kind of the MO since they've been in the SEC when you had the SEC West. They don't have to play Alabama. And voting in the SEC Media Days poll, which I know doesn't really mean a whole lot, I had Alabama third ahead of Ole Miss. But I think I'll be interested to see what they do this season, just with the pieces they added. Losing a guy like Quinshon Judkins hurts, but they've got a ton of talent in Oxford. It's a shame that we don't get to see these two offenses go against each other. But I think with Alabama, what they have coming back and just, you know, the potential of this team and this coaching staff, I'm not ready to write off Alabama just yet.
We got Georgia, obviously, after losing to Alabama last year in the SEC title game, trying to come back with a vengeance. They're the favorite in the conference. They're the favorite to win a national title. You add Texas to the league. They're the second shortest shot. Then Ole Miss and Alabama, as we talked about. Is there any other team in the SEC you feel like could be a contender in this league this season?
It's tough. I mean, I think the SEC could get 3 to 4 teams in the college football playoff. But I'm interested to see what happens with LSU because they have to replace a ton on the offensive side of the ball, and they got to get a lot better on defense. But maybe a dark horse. I don't know if I truly believe this, but maybe Missouri, just because you look at the teams at the top of the league, the Georgias, the Texas, the Ole Miss, the Alabamas, they all bring back a quarterback. And Missouri won 10 games last year, if I'm not mistaken. I know Ole Miss did too, but I think the Tigers are a team. That's one kind of when I was talking about earlier, that stretch for Alabama. They go to Tennessee. They play Missouri at home. They get the bye week. They go to LSU. That chunk of the schedule, we're going to learn a lot about Alabama because it's not going to be just an easy walk in the park home game when the Tigers come to town.
No, and I agree with you on Missouri in large part because of not only the success they had last year and carrying that over, but the schedule. Like, they avoid Georgia and Texas. They avoid Ole Miss, LSU, and Tennessee. It shakes out really well for them, potentially. This was an awesome segment. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. And enjoy the season. I can't believe we're already here.
Yeah, it's crazy. Less than a month.
Yes, no doubt about it. Charlie Potter, everybody. Again, check him out on X at @Charlie_Potter. And that is a great segue to what we're going to talk about in our next segment. Femi and I are both going to lay out teams that we think today on July 26th could be the final four standing in the college football playoff next year and some potential sleepers as well. Although Charlie took one. Mizzou is going to be one of mine.
Oh, Mizzou is going to be one of yours. Okay. Because Mizzou is interesting. I'm always curious though, these teams that are like the non-traditional powers, how do they handle the expectations? Because I'm sure Mizzou fans, we got our guy Elliot, he's a big Mizzou guy.
I know.
You know, he expects his team to maybe make the playoff. Like, can they handle that going in? Because I feel like they can maybe caught some people on surprise last year.
Elliot is actually the reason that I took such a deep dive into Mizzou so that I could talk crap to him. And instead I walked away going, oh no, they could be 7-0 before they go to Tuscaloosa and face Alabama. Where if they win that game, then what could they be? And yeah, so we'll get into that a little bit more on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The VSiN NFL Betting Guide is out now, and our all-new College Football Betting Guide drops next week, August 1st. And only VSiN Pro subscribers get all the tools from us at VSiN to prep for the college and pro football seasons. Our experts have profiles of each and every team with advanced stats, trends, and power ratings, plus, of course, best bets on futures and season win totals. Sign up before the end of July. You'll receive both guides and full VSiN Pro access. That includes our daily pro picks, 24/7 video access, and exclusive data like our betting splits all the way through the Super Bowl for an early bird discount price of just $175. The football special discount price expires July 31st, so don't wait. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. And let's keep this college football train rolling. Had a great conversation last segment with Charlie Porter of On3 Sports, Bama Online. By the way, Stormy Bonatoni, Femi Ebbafe in, no Michael today. But really interesting conversation about the SEC. Their media days wrapped up last week. Big Ten media days wrapped up yesterday. The defending national champs, head coach Sherrone Moore was on the podium yesterday, by the way, and he used a nice Harbaugh-ism, the contagious enthusiasm unknown to mankind. So we're keeping that
tough
rolling.
Tough as a $2 steak, baby.
Yes. That said,
what about Deshaun Foster's podium performance?
Oh, my gosh.
What was?
So
Have they said what was going on there?
I wonder,
sorry to just totally go off the rails, but I was like, I saw that video and I was like, what is going on?
And if you haven't seen it, head to Twitter because it is a very peculiar and interesting watch, especially for when you think about a head coach, you think of kind of a leader of men, charismatic, well-spoken in front of
an audience.
Absolutely. And so did he just not know he was going to do an opening statement or something?
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe he thought he was going to step up there and take questions. But yeah, he had nothing prepared and literally said that UCLA, you know, we're in Los Angeles, same as USC.
He said, I don't know if you know, you probably don't know very much about UCLA, but we're in Los Angeles. So is USC.
The internet doesn't exist? Like, what?
Said, it's great to see our logo next to the
Big Ten
logo. Like, he was like looking at the presentation.
Literally in that cadence.
I feel bad torching the guy. Yeah. But it was very.
I don't feel bad because he ran all over the Huskies back in his playing day one year. He had like 300 yards at the rolls. I was like, get this Deshaun Foster out of my face. had a decent career with the Carolina Panthers as well.
Yeah, so that's interesting. So he is the head coach now. Chip Kelly, yeah. Of course, now on staff as the offensive coordinator at Ohio State. So very interesting to see a head coach go to become a coordinator in what is now the same league. Yeah. But at the top, when you think about Michigan, who last year under Jim Harbaugh went undefeated, 15-0, win a national championship. When you look at this team off the top, do you think they are more poised to repeat or be held out of the expanded 12-team playoff altogether?
I would say held out of the playoff altogether, just because. I mean,
uh-oh, Wyatt Tomchek, producer today, is not going to like that.
He's going to cut my mic while I'm at it. Well, while I can get a word in, I think that Michigan, I don't want to completely sell them, but there has to be a drop off because Jim Harbaugh was a top two or three head coach in college football. We probably lost the two best coaches in Saban retiring and Harbaugh going to the Chargers. You know, like these guys were like, you could count on them. You knew what you were going to get with their teams. And Harbaugh was so good. And then Sherrone Moore, obviously, like, he'll still carry over what Harbaugh did. And, right. And maybe we're not going to see the immediate effects this year since a lot of the talent's already in place. They brought Wink Martindale to come in, which I think is going to be interesting, seeing those pressure looks for a college offensive lineman having to deal with that. Like, can they handle all of that stuff that Wink Martindale is going to throw at a protection scheme and also a quarterback? But I just think that from a talent standpoint, what Ohio State has done in the portal and just normally on the recruiting trail, what Oregon has done, they're just, from a talent standpoint, are just too good. And they're like clearly above where Michigan stands right now. And that's not to disparage Michigan. I think they're still one of the better teams in the country. But it's just that Ohio State and Oregon are just so loaded. I don't think that Michigan cracked that code. But, I mean, maybe we'll get three or four teams, like Matt Rhule said, that go to the playoff.
Oh, okay, so let's go there real quickly. Okay. Matt Rhule, head coach at Nebraska, he had some very poignant comments about where the Big Ten stands in the grand scheme of college football. Take a listen.
But I think we'll have a lot of access to the college football playoff. And I think four teams from this league should get in every year because – this is the best league. This is the NFL of college football in my mind. It stretches from coast to coast, different time zones, different weather. That's not to diminish any other league. The SEC is amazing. These other leagues are great, but the challenge in the Big Ten is going to be really difficult. Travel, weather, and great teams.
I wish that we would have had Big Ten media days before SEC so we could get Commissioner Sankey's response to that comment.
Oh, you had a lot to say.
But, okay, we are the NFL. We in the Big Ten should have guaranteed spots in the college football playoff. How about Nebraska worries about being over 500?
Make a bowl game first.
Am I crazy? Like,
make a bowl game first.
And I love Matt Rhule. You're a great college football coach. Yeah. Obviously, speaking of the Carolina Panthers, things did not go well there for Matt Rhule in the NFL. But college football, he was great at turning around programs, all of those things. Nebraska is a program that's expected to take a step this year. But let's not say we're the best league. Although I'll give credit, like the teams at the top this year that you mentioned, Ohio State, Oregon, a lot of potential to be awesome. In my Final Four, they're both in it.
Oh, 100%. I'm the same way. Like,
Nebraska's
spoiler
not.
Alert. Another spoiler alert. sorry, Cornhusker fans. But yeah, I think Ohio State and Oregon are just so good and they're loaded and they recruit so well. It's going to be hard to kind of overtake those teams, especially too when you talk about the playoff. Now they get like multiple mulligans because it used to be maybe you had one mulligan with the 4-team playoff. It's like you as a one-loss team, you better go win your conference title game or you better hope that chaos happens. Otherwise, you're not getting in. But now with a 12-team playoff, I mean, shoot, Ohio State could lose two games. Guess what? They can show up. And if as long as they're peaking at the right time and playing their best ball in December, they can still win a national title. So it's going to be so difficult to keep those teams out of it. And also, I think so difficult to beat those teams as we get into our playoff discussion. I think that like my theme is definitely you got to have a lot of talent to ultimately win in that playoff.
So let's hear your in pencil Final Four for this year in pencil.
In pencil, not
pen. We're not going to hold you to this forever, but it's fun. You know, it's fun exercise to do this time of year.
100%. So, I have the favorite, Georgia, in my playoff. And I texted Wyatt, our producer. I said, I'm a little bit chalky here because I had the four teams who are at the top of the odds board.
Well, you literally went 1-2-3-4.
I have 1-2-3-4. So, I have Georgia, I have Ohio State, I have Texas and Oregon. But here's why I did it, though, is because I think that you are going to need a lot of depth in college football now going forward. Because, I mean, we're talking about playing 15, 16 games. Your 2D better be loaded with 5 stars, 4 stars. These are teams that recruit at that level. You're going to get some group of fives that maybe win a playoff game or something like that. But to actually get to the semifinals and to ultimately win the national title, it's going to be one of these kind of caliber teams that has a lot of the depth, and these four recruit as well as anybody in the country.
And they're the best conferences, right? Big 10 and SEC. And like, I make fun of Matt Rhule, but the Big 10 is one of the best. I just wouldn't say that they are the best, right? But they are one of the best. And so I'm with you on three of these four. So I'm pretty chalky as well.
So you can't give me chalky.
I went off the board for one. Okay. Hello. So I have Georgia because, like I said with Charlie the last segment, I think with them being held out last year, they are going to be back with a vengeance. And I know they've had a lot of off-field issues happening, but you know that Kirby Smart's going to have them dialed in on the football field, and they're going to be able to roll the football out how many games this year and just win. And you can say the same for Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Oregon as well, for as good and record-setting as their offense was last year, I think could be even better this year. Dylan Gabriel was healthy all of last season. If he can do that again, because I know that's kind of the bugaboo with him, I think he could be a really good facilitator. Maybe Will Stein could do for him what he did for Bo Nix. And I'm really excited about this Oregon team, specifically offensively, but they're loaded on both sides of the ball as well. And then I threw in the Utah Utes.
Ooh, talk to me.
I love Utah. I think that
so you can't quit Cam Rising.
I can't. year 27 in college football. No, it's his seventh year in college football.
Incredible.
Veteran presence. Missed all of last season, healing from the torn ACL. He's back. Stud tight end Brant Keithy is back, who, by the way, was the better tight end between he and Dalton Kincaid. And Dalton Kincaid ended up becoming a first round pick because he blew up that year while Keithy was injured. So love that they have them back. The offense is going to click just fine. Defense, always under Kyle Whittingham, is going to be elite. Morgan Scally does an excellent job on that side of the ball. Home field advantage is ridiculous at Rice-Eccles Stadium. They are 18-1 the last three seasons in that building, 27-2 over the last five. They're in the Big 12, a step down in class from the competition that they played up and down the conference last year in the Pac-12. Looking at their schedule, there are a lot of things that scream to me that they're going to be good this year. And I joked with Michael, I was like, maybe Utah is the college football version of the Ifers for me, and I'm just on board with them and I'm not with the Jets, because if Cam Rising stays healthy,
he's got to stay healthy.
The sky is the limit for Utah, in my opinion. One of the best head coaches in all of college football in Kyle Whittingham. And I'm really high on them. I like their season win total over. I like them to make and win the Big 12 title game, to make the CFP plus 220. There's a lot of plus money prices out there on Utah that I think are very intriguing.
When they announced that Utah was going to the Big 12, I thought to myself, I said, Utah's going to run the Big 12. Like what Kyle Whittingham does, like, his teams are always the toughest in the conference. They hit you in the mouth. Like, he is absolutely physical. Of your four teams, and maybe the answer is Utah, if one of these teams doesn't make it, who do you think it would be?
I think Utah would have to be the odd man out there. But I mean, your Texas pick is warranted. The four that these are the best teams in college football, and the best teams in college football typically do end up being represented at the end of the 100%. Season.
And for me, I think the team that I would take out would actually be Oregon.
Do you have a interesting.
I don't know. I gotta see it from Dan Lanning in a big game.
I know we have to hit the break.
Gotta see it first.
Do you have a G5 pick?
I do not have a G5 pick, but my wild card, Aggies, stand up, Texas A&M. They're 45-1 to win the national title. They recruit like hell. And now they got a good coach in Mike Elko. Maybe he can make it all work.
You'll love to see it. We'll be right back on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Lombardi Line coming at you from live in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino, alongside Femi Bebefe, Stormy Bonantoni with you. And we're going to keep this football talk rolling as Mike Pritchard joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line, former NFL wide receiver, VSiN lead NFL analyst, won a national championship with the Colorado Buffs back in the day. What's going on, Pritch? How are we doing today?
I'm doing great. Hall of Famer. You know, you can sign keep going if you want, Stormy.
All the things. Well, yeah, our wonderful producer, Wyatt Tomchek, in the commercial break was like, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce you to Las Vegas legend and all that. It's awesome, Pritch. We always appreciate you being on with us. And we were having a little fun last segment talking some college football. So I don't know if you have any CFP sleepers, if you have any strong opinions on the national championship. I know it's July 26th, so what we've been saying is we're writing this in pencil. We're not going to hold you to it. But anything you like in college football this year?
You know, I do. I mean, I think I've been waiting for this day, to be honest with you, or this year, where we're going to expand the playoff, right? I think the SEC not having divisions is going to be very, very interesting because there's no more cupcake scheduling, right? Now we're going to get these guys to schedule the right way, just like everybody else, or what you're supposed to be doing when you're trying to crown yourself as a champion. So the Big Ten is going to be incredible. The Big 12, I think, is going to be competitive as well. But that SEC without divisions, that thing is going to look fantastic, I think. So, you know, Texas, I think Texas, when you think about the quarterback position, when you think about all the talent, we think about Sark and what they're doing, they're going to make some noise. But I love the fact that it's expanded, Stormy and Femi. And now you have the notion that some team can come out of nowhere and win this thing. It's not going to be about the top of the SEC and then, okay, maybe a Michigan or maybe Ohio State, like the usual suspects, right? No, I think we're going to get some fresh blood this year, and that's going to make it more exciting. One of the other things, too, I don't know if you guys really have talked about this all year, but this transfer portal is something else. I got firsthand knowledge about what it really is like. I mean, think about a professional athlete. Like, think about, like, say, I don't know, CeeDee Lamb, because he plays for Dallas. I'll use him as an example, right, Femi?
Yep.
Like, say, you know, he's able to go and not have any affiliation with Dallas. Like, say he can go and be the highest paid player, or he could bid his services to any team in the National Football League. What would that look like, right? And that's what the equivalent is what's going on with this college football and this NIL and these collectives. And so I'd be curious to see how these coaches are going to manage just the transition of rosters and really not knowing if these guys are bought into your program. Like before, when you recruited guys, they were bought into your program for about 3-4 years, right? Mm-hmm. Now it could be year to year, even month to month in terms of the attention span of some of these athletes now.
Yeah, it's the wild, wild west now in college football. And, like, right. I do want to ask you about your team, though, the Colorado Buffaloes. For our viewing audience, you see the jersey hanging over Pritch's right shoulder. Won a national title in Boulder there. That's all he did in Boulder when he was with the Buffs. But you're 30-1 to win the Big 12. The win total is at 5.5. How do you feel about this program? It's year two now with Coach Prime, year two with Shedeur Sanders at quarterback and Travis Hunter as the all-purpose guy. Like, how do you feel about this team now that they have headed back to the Big 12?
You know, Femi, I think I had my reservations all offseason in terms of betting over that win total. I bet over the win total last year, got there. Mm-hmm. That was a sweat. but, you know, 5.5, like you mentioned, I think they're going to be bowl eligible. And I mentioned this to Stormy and Michael before, that you know, the talent is there. And if I got to go back to my understanding of the game in terms of, look, the hard part is assembling the talent. The hard part for University of Colorado was getting people to buy into the program again. Now that they've done that and the talent is there, the easy part should be the coaching. But there are some question marks about some of the coaches in key positions out there in Colorado. So I think that has to come together. If it does, this can be a bowl type season for CU. And, you know, with the spotlight already shining bright on that program, who knows what Coach Prime's going to do with a bowl season. But, this is a good team, a very, very talented team. You mentioned quarterback. Hunter is incredible. I've never seen a player like that at this age. Even go back to Prime when he was a two-way player. But, they're incredibly talented. It's just the coaching. The coaching is going to have to come together for them.
Yeah, Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders, the stars of the show on the field there. We'll see if Shedeur can get a little bit of protection, because the video game, they were laughing about how realistic that offensive line was in not a good way. Mason's own Mike Pritchard joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Let's shift gears to the NFL. I wanted to get your opinion on the comments from Mike Tomlin yesterday about Russell Wilson ultimately sitting out at practice. He had a calf strain. He's day-to-day, whatever. But the quote that he said, it was his decision for Russ not to practice because Russ still wanted to create a little misery for him in the offensive unit. Like, what does that say to you about this training camp for the Steelers and Mike Tomlin's approach?
I think Mike Tomlin plays head games. I mean, I call it a culture division, Stormy, because I mean, think about Harbaugh with Baltimore. You think about Cleveland over the years and what they've been up and down. You think about Pittsburgh and the storied nature of what three coaches in the last, I don't know, what, 40 years or whatever it is. I mean, it really is Cincinnati, even, I think, from a culture standpoint. And Mike Tomlin's all about culture. And, Mike Tomlin knows about the entitlement that Russell Wilson had not too long ago, right? And they're trying to get Russell away from that. You can't have your own office in the front office with the coaches. You can't put yourself outside the locker room like Russell did. And I think as a football coach, Tomlin knows that. I also think there's a little bit of gamesmanship in terms of, okay, I want to see what Fields is made of. Like, and he's thrusted into this situation now, right? Let's see how he handles this early on in camp from a psychological standpoint, not from a physical standpoint. Okay, now you're the starter. Let's see how you handle that. And so these games, these mind games, Pittsburgh can afford to play them with these two guys because I think they have to have their minds right. And if they are right, watch out. That's why I'm high on Pittsburgh this year. I love the coach. I love his tactics. And I think the players buy into him because it reminds them of when, I don't know, they were in Pop Warner, right? And you had a coach like this, or even high school or college some places. So I think it's refreshing to a lot of players, especially Russell Wilson.
Steelers general manager Omar Khan recently said that there's nothing going on right now as it pertains to potentially trading for a wide receiver. Across the league, Pritch, we've seen a number of wide receivers either hold out or hold in. Ayuk, CeeDee Lamb, now Ja'Marr Chase. This missed time, like how much of a big deal, or maybe it's not even a big deal, but how much impact will this have on what these guys do in the actual season? Because they're all going to play. They're going to report right by the time we get to the actual games. But will the missed time at training camp impact how they play in the fall?
No, not right now. I mean, we're so early, Femi. I mean, think about it. We're not playing games until September for real. And a lot of these guys, they weren't going to play in preseason anyway. And you get some off-season workout. You get some OTA stuff. You get mostly that mandatory minicamp. But it's going to get to a point. I think if we get up against it in terms of, you know, week one of the preseason or week two of the preseason, now you're looking at some significant implications maybe, you know. And you never like to have contract situations play out right before the season starts either, right? You like to get that stuff done. What's crazy to me, what was still crazy to me is that you have these players and they know what the numbers are, and the players know what the numbers are. The owners knows what the numbers are. Everybody knows what the numbers are, but yet you have this stalemate in terms of getting a deal done. We're in 2030, the salary cap's going to be almost $400 million. Yeah. You can't tell me that you cannot find a way to negotiate a contract that will be advantageous for the club and certainly advantageous for the players with the amount of dollars that they're making. It's just baffling that this day and age, we still have to deal with this kind of mess.
Rich, as a 49ers fan, I've seen over the last couple years, guys like Nick Bosa and Deebo Samuel, as they go through right. their contract stuff leading up to those early season games. Like, talk about how that process actually impacted where their mind was at and made them feel like they weren't as good on the field that season. For some of these guys who are doing the hold in, hold out thing, is that a real right. thing? Do you think that can impact you in the season as a player?
I think it can, because you're just uncertain. You know, you love to have that certainty. You love to have the guarantee that, hey, look, I'm going to be here for another 4 or 5 years, whatever it is. But when you're uncertain, go back to NIL, right? Now you're looking at other places. Now you're distracted. You know, why don't they love me as much as they say they do? Those kind of things. There's a fine line between cockiness and confidence and then a lack of confidence. I mean, you could lose it like that, right? And so if front offices mess with players, I think that can certainly handcuff them a little bit. Josh Jacobs, prime example. He's AP rushing leader. But yeah, Josh McDaniels and Ziegler, they messed with that contract situation. And look what kind of year he had. So I just don't know why teams still fool around with contracts late in the year.
No doubt about it. Pritch, you're the man. Thanks for doing this, pal.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Mike Pritchard, everybody. We're going to hit the break, wrapping things up on this Friday edition of the Lombardi Line when we come back. A little game of Would You Rather. You won't want to miss it.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Mike, Michael's out today, but Stormy Bonantoni and Femi Ebbefe hanging out with you. If you haven't checked out the new and improved mobile-friendly VSiN.com, now's the time. Easily accessible best bets from all of our VSiN show hosts and guests every day. Updated betting splits, exclusive articles, including regular columns from our own Michael Lombardi. Betting tools and betting guides. The NFL betting guide out now. The college football betting guide dropping in less than a week. But the only way to get the guides is by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe. Today, we're wrapping up this Friday edition of the Lombardi Line live in downtown Las Vegas at the Circa Sportsbook at Circa Resort and Casino. And this has been a fun day going through a lot of the different training camp storylines, players that have been available, unavailable. We even hit on some college football today. But for you, when you think about training camp and this time of year, like, are there teams or storylines or anything in particular you're most interested in this time of year?
Off the top of my head, I can think about like four or five right now.
It's just cause, That's good.
Because training camp is around the time where it's like, these are the questions that are unanswered. Can we start to answer those questions before the regular season starts? And for me, one of those teams is the Arizona Cardinals and Kyler Murray. And like, this is sort of the return of Kyler Murray, of what we saw prior to the injury. Because like, we all know he came back last year, second half of it, but he wasn't quite as explosive. The beep-beep plays, as Michael likes to call them, you know, like the beep-beeps of a Kyler Murray running around like the Roadrunner. We didn't see that as much because, you know, usually you're not really fully back from the ACL injury until like the second year. Well, now it is that second year for Kyler Murray, removed from that surgery when he tore his ACL a couple seasons ago. What does he look like? And can he return back to kind of being like a fringe top 10-ish quarterback? Like, can he be top 12 for Arizona? Because if he can, maybe the Cardinals can be something better than what the market expects. I know some people out there are bullish on this Arizona team. I'm not quite there yet. I actually think that this is a team that I've circled as maybe this is like a team that you play on in the second half of the season. I honestly kind of, we're talking about Dan Campbell and the Lions and all that stuff and like his up downs and all that. But a couple years ago when the Lions barely missed the playoffs, but they started the year, I think they were like 3-6 or something like that. I think that Arizona could be similar to that, to where they make a second half surge and potentially get into the postseason because we start to see them get a little bit more comfortable with Marvin Harrison Jr. Mm-hmm. The weapons that they have is also defensively. Look, Gannon, he got something out of those guys defensively last year. Like, yeah, they were giving up some big plays, but towards the end of the year, they were frisky. I mean, we saw them go into Philadelphia and totally swing the NFC East to the Dallas Cowboys when they knocked off the Eagles in the Gannon revenge game against the Eagles. So I think that the Arizona Cardinals are a team that you want to keep your eye on, and it starts with Kyler Murray and what we see from him athletically this season, because if he's back to what he was prior to the injury, maybe Arizona can be an interesting team in a rather weak NFC.
Yeah, that portion of it, and you got to start pushing the ball downfield, and maybe Marvin Harrison Jr. can be that guy. So
the highlights are already out there on Twitter.
Absolutely.
Look at Marv. People are excited.
That is the funnest thing to me about this time of year, because like, half of these teams are not even in pads. We're having breakdowns on podcasts of routes on air. Okay, that's the world that we're living in right now. During
Rodgers was
of
11
camp.
Of 12 during team yesterday.
He had five straight incompletions, but also we're seeing the video of that 50-yard strike downfield to Garrett Wilson. Like, this is, you know, it's all over the place, but it's fun and it's entertaining.
My favorite one, I don't know if you saw the Chicago Bears Twitter account, Caleb Williams rolling to his left, throwing across the body. And I said, huh, that looks rather familiar. So then I searched into my Twitter. I said, Justin Fields sidearm, literally from his rookie training camp, the exact same throw. Now, that is not to say that Justin Fields and Caleb Williams are the same quarterback. It just goes to show you that none of this matters. None of it matters, because the Bears moved on from Justin Fields. Now they have Caleb Williams. So as exciting as it is, and I know we're all starved for football content, let's just put it into the right proper context.
Well, and that even carries over to the preseason as well. How many of these players are we going to see and we're going to be like, oh my gosh, they looked rough in preseason. What are we going to do? Or these rookie quarterbacks look unbelievable in preseason. Dorian Thompson Robinson is going to be unbelievable. And what do we ultimately see on the football
field? His head was spinning.
So yes, it's a different deal. So I think it's an important carryover point.
My favorite one of that is Ja'Marr Chase. Like, he was dropping passes in training camp, didn't look that great in the preseason games. Everyone says, whoa, the Bengals might have drafted a bust. And all he did was win Offensive Rookie of the Year and was like a top five receiver his rookie season. And now he's about to get a big payday either this year or next year. Like, it's just, take it with a grain of salt, I guess, is the kind of the theme of this conversation.
To go back to the Cardinals here briefly, the NFC West in general, I'm curious your opinion on this, feels like a division that's kind of back on the rise a little bit.
I agree.
The Cardinals last year, for as many games as they lost, they were chippy. They were competitive in a lot of them, even prior to Kyler Murray coming back into the fold. You've got the Seattle Seahawks. Yes, took a little bit of a step back with Geno Smith last year, but the expectation is that they'll get back to that level. The defense will play significantly better with Mike McDonald. Michael has talked a lot on this program about how he could be a Coach of the Year candidate this year. The Rams exceeded expectations last year, ended up having a 10-win season, making the playoff despite everyone thinking they were still in rebuild mode. And the 49ers are the 49ers, played in a Super Bowl last year and bring back all their talent. So the NFC West could be coming on up, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I honestly, I think that the three teams below the Niners are all ascending. And the Niners right now, I'd say, are still where they are, which was really good last year. Like they said, they arguably should have won the Super Bowl a season ago, lost it in overtime to the best player in the sport. But the three teams that are chasing them, they're all on the way up, which should make for a fascinating division this year.
Last 5 minutes here, there is an interesting market that our producer Wyatt Tomchek shared with us that makes for a fun Would You Rather segment. It's in team specials on DraftKings Sportsbook, and there are some head-to-head props that we're just going to decide which one head-to-head we want, but some interesting props that are good plus money, decent prices here. And let's start with a player from the San Francisco 49ers, Christian McCaffrey, to have 1,000 plus rushing and receiving yards in the regular season. He's done it before. He's done it before. 10-1. Or Justin Jefferson to score 15 plus receiving touchdowns. What would you rather bet? That price for both of them is 10-1.
I'm going with Jay Jettas. 15 plus receiving TDs. And here's why. I think McCaffrey is going to be on a little bit of a different plan this year than he was last year when he won Offensive Player of the Year. We heard Kyle Shanahan say it. He alluded to it a little bit. Didn't outwardly say, hey, we're going to cut back his carries. But it's like kind of like we're going to manage Christian because we want him to stay healthy for when it matters most, which is January. So I can see that maybe like mixing in some other running backs and just didn't want to put too much on his workload after he had a lot on the workload a season ago. Jefferson, the 15-plus receiving tees, it's a long shot. That's why it's 10-1, given the quarterback situation. But, I mean, I've kind of been beating the drum for Skoll all offseason. Whether it's Sam Darnold slinging Sammy or J.J. McCarthy as a rookie, I think the Vikings offense has a pretty decent upside, and Justin Jefferson is a top three receiver in the league. So I'll go Jefferson just because I think that the Niners are going to make sure to manage McCaffrey's workload in the regular season.
Yeah, we're not saying we love either one of these bets, but if we, it's a
you
game.
Made me pick.
It's a game. I'm making you pick. And I think I would do the same as well for exactly the reasons that you laid out. And when he did have Christian McCaffrey, rather, the 1,000-yard rushing and receiving season that he had with the Carolina Panthers, it was because he is the do it all. Do everything back. And he's going to be in a very different situation in San Francisco. Puka Nacua made history as a rookie wide receiver in his first season with the Los Angeles Rams. Would you rather take him to record 200 plus receiving yards in any regular season game or Marvin Harrison Jr. to do the same? Marvin Harrison with Kyler Murray throwing the ball, 10-1 the price. Puka just plus 425.
Man, a rookie to go.
That's a good one,
plus.
Right?
That is a good one. I think I would honestly lean toward the big price of Marvin Harrison Jr. doing it.
Wowee.
Kyler loves his wide receiver one. When Hopkins was there, he was spamming the ball to DeAndre Hopkins. Now that player is Marvin Harrison Jr., but all indications, what we saw on Saturdays the past three seasons, is going to be a really, really good wide receiver. So I think Kyler's going to lean on Marvin Harrison Jr. I would go Harrison Jr. because I also think the Rams might lean more toward the power running game, the way that they built their offensive line.
Okay, let's go quarterback here. The top two passing touchdown leaders last year, Dak Prescott and Jordan Love. Dak to throw 40 plus regular season touchdowns is 6-1. Jordan Love to do so is 12-1. They had 36 and 32 last year respectively. But if you had to bet on one of those guys to get 40 plus, who would it be?
All you need is Love. I'm going to go Jordan Love, just given the fact that they are the more explosive offense. And also, there's still question marks defensively with the Green Bay Packers. Maybe they get into some of these shootouts, and Jordan Love has to do this for them to ultimately maybe win a division. So I'm going to go Jordan Love there. Dak, I know like he plays in great conditions inside Jerry World, but I'll go Love.
But we're all in.
Yeah.
You all love in. That. You love that, don't
I
you?
I mean, yesterday Jerry's like, you don't know how much money I'd write a check to win it. I'm like, come on, Jerry. You've given this speech many a times. We don't need to hear it. Yeah, you'd spend $1 billion to win a Super Bowl. Okay, cool. You're not going to be able to do that. So then what?
Did you hear the So a lot of Jerry Jones's answers, I feel like, just go in this big circle. It's a web. You don't know what's happening necessarily.
It's Jerry talk. Yeah.
He had this crazy metaphor about being an option quarterback.
Yes.
And then he said something about a tree leaf. And I was just, I'm lost. I don't know what's happening
he
anymore.
He compared himself to like Patrick Mahomes.
He said, does that sound like Mahomes to you? And then is that just, that was a rhetorical question.
This is the same guy who I'm not going to repeat what he said once a time ago at training camp. But yeah, he has some doozies. I'll just say that. I'll tell you when we're done with the show.
Okay, please do. That's again, ladies and gentlemen, that's for the VSiN Plus Plus subscription. Yes. Head to VSiN. No, I'm just kidding. This is fun to do. We never get to work together, so this was awesome.
We said at the top of the show, people are going to be in trouble with this one.
Yes.
They should never have put us together, but it was a lot of fun to do this with you. We did a whole show together.
Yes, this was a blast. And if you missed any of it, remember you can always download the Lombardi Line in podcast form wherever you get your podcast. While you're there,
it's already loading into my
GM feed. Head to the GM Shuffle page as well. Locked and loaded, new episodes every week. That's a wrap for us. Thanks for hanging out with us. Enjoy your weekend.